Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Today, I saw a podcast episode recently of The Rest is Entertainment, which is one of my favourite podcasts. And Richard was talking about, is TV dead? And it really got me thinking about who's still watching TV. And I'm interested to know because they had a lot of stats to show that the younger generations, and I think it was the 19-year-olds to about the 35-year-olds, are mostly watching streaming. Like the numbers were really big. A lot more. Oh, no, I probably thought it was going to be like that. And so I was thinking myself, am I watching TV? And the answer is very little of it. And I wondered if you two are watching TV.
Before we continue, can we just make that distinction between what we mean by TV?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it means watching in Australia, it's ABC, SBS, Channel 7, Channel 9 and Channel 10. So just the classic five stations. And they have a program on at 6 o'clock, so the news, which is probably the one thing that I do watch now and again. And you're watching it at 6 o'clock, watching it free to air. Yep. So you've put your TV on to Channel 7 or Channel 9 or Channel 10 and you're actually watching it free to air there and then.
And so you can't fast forward, pause.
Can't fast forward, you can't pause, you can't stop watching ads. There's ads, of course, for a lot of those sorts of stations. You don't have any sort of autonomy in the way that you're going to view that. It's just being shown to you live and you're watching it that way. So that's what I mean by TV.
I would not be watching TV then.
Mm-hmm. Do you watch the news?
I do, but only on catch-up, so by your definition.
Okay.
So if I was watching a news show, it would be on ABC's streaming service.
Okay.
But I will also say now they've moved so much of their stuff onto podcasts.
Yes.
I listen to the news more than I watch the news.
Oh, there you go.
But I do watch some TV shows, but again, it's all on catch up. I never watch it live.
Because often I'm cooking dinner and our place has a TV on the wall in the kitchen. It's just something that came with the apartment. And so sometimes I'm cooking dinner and it's around 6 o'clock and I actually go, I still have that in my head. Oh, 6 o'clock, it's news. And I'll put the news on. Like I'll actually put it on and knowing that I'm just going to watch it live and listen to what's going on in the world. I don't care what channel it is, to be honest. I'm not committed to any channel. But yeah, I put it on and then I'll watch the news. Well, when I say I watch the news, I'm not sitting down. I'm physically moving around the kitchen and I'm cooking or I'm doing
the
dishes.
Background.
Yeah, it's actually in the background. And if there's something interesting that comes on, my husband and I might discuss that. We might go, oh, look at that. Or I might go to him, be quiet, be quiet. I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to listen to what they're saying because I'm listening to it live. But then that finishes and then they've got all those game shows. You know, and the one that I can think of is, you know, Deal or No Deal, which is after the news. And I think, who watches this though?
Who stays to watch the game shows?
And obviously people do because the game shows are all on.
At prime time.
Yeah, at prime time. So I think, okay. So who's watching that?
Yeah, it's interesting. One thing. Because I'm thinking, would I ever sit down and watch Deal or No Deal on the TV? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
But a lot of those concepts, and they've just been like blatantly stolen, a lot of them, like not only Deal or No Deal, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, a lot of like online creators now, YouTubers, will recreate those game shows. And they still get tens of millions of views from younger demographics.
So hang on, when you say recreate, it's not playing in the background and they're answering the questions.
No, they're recreating a set.
Hold on.
They've got their version of it.
There's a YouTube channel called The Sidemen and they actually went, because they're a British YouTube channel, they actually went to the, I think it's called The Chaser.
They
went to the actual set and rented out the set and just did the entire Chaser game on their set.
Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, I think they are. They probably buy like some sort of
permission.
And there was like a little bit of cameo where that the guy that is like the host of the Chaser like comes on randomly. He's like, "What are you doing on my set?" So like, there was clearly like some sort of agreement there. But there are times where they'll just make like a Wheel of Fortune board and they'll use it, and they get like upwards of between like 5 and 10 million views on a video.
I'm pretty sure there's not that many people watching it live.
But wouldn't you be? Like if it was your show like The Chaser and you've created that and then you've got some YouTuber who comes in, uses the set, gets like millions and millions of views, and you'd be going, but what about my
I'm
sure they're getting some money from it.
I know, but still, it would be like you'd be going, this is our concept and we're not getting the views. You know? It makes me think of this thing immediately. I had a very good friend in Perth who owned a winery, and a very good winery. Anyway, a new winery was starting up. This is going to sound you'll get my segue in a moment. This winery was starting up, right? And they needed wine, but they hadn't created enough wine for their own winery yet. So they bought wine off him and labelled it with their own labels, right? So, and their wine was, I think, $5 more expensive a bottle, but it was the identical wine, identical. They outsold his winery, like outstripped it, and it became this really, really popular wine. And it really depressed him because he was like, that is my wine.
Yeah.
I charge $5 cheaper for it.
Yeah.
And yet, because of this, and you know what it was? This brand was really funky and really like, really appealed to young people. And that's what got it. And I think that's the same as these YouTube things. It's that young appeal.
I wonder as well, though, if you were to look at like the Chaser, look at their normal stats, and then they had like a celebrity version.
Yes.
I imagine that would be more popular. And this is basically what it is. It's just a bunch of celebrities playing that game. So there could be some element to that as well.
Yeah.
But also probably just the autonomy of picking, I like these guys, I want to watch them do things.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting. It's almost like it's shifted away from a lot of those game shows where people are winning a lot of money. It's just like the everyman.
Yes.
Trying to win money. And maybe there was a lot more kind of people really like that and wanted to see people succeed.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're just like one of us. But now it almost feels like it's the opposite. It's like people that are like really influential. I want to see what they do with their day or how they think.
But even I've watched a show called The Traitors, which is there's a UK version, there's a US version, and there was an Australian version, which is now stopped. And I noticed that they used everyday people, like someone like I could apply to be on that, but now it's all celebrities on it, you know. But those celebrities, I still feel, are like actors playing a role, you know. They want the villain, they want the crazy housewife, they want the person who... The interesting thing about The Traitors is most of the famous contestants all come from reality TV. They come from Survivor, The Real Housewives, a few other. It's like
they're
professional real, game players.
Yeah,
like
they're not real celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to get like Hugh Jackman on there.
No, you're not going to get Hugh Jackman on there, no, or anything like that.
Yeah.
But in real time, like even things like with The Traitors is shown in real time, but I just wait to the whole season's just about done and then I go watch it on iView, you know. I watch it through my Apple TV. Like, I don't want to watch it at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
No.
I want to watch it on the weekend and binge 5 episodes at once. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
It's actually, when we were just talking there, I just had like this little light bulb moment where I actually do watch the TV. It's exclusively for sports games.
Oh, yes.
And that's one thing that I think there's actually a reason to watch live, to be part of that.
Yeah.
Because I know like I also follow like the English Soccer League.
Yeah.
And I've got access to watching all of those full replay games because they're on at like 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah.
But even when I do that, it just doesn't feel the same as watching it live.
Yes.
And so I think that there is something there that says that live spectacles, like sports games, like there is a want to be connected in that sense.
It's very true, actually.
And also, speaking of that, we were talking about YouTubers, which again is a type of content you can consume whenever you want. But like Twitch live streaming is a huge thing as well. So young people are tuning into live programs and engaging with it and wanting to be part of something live. It's just that the entertainment itself has changed.
Yes, it's very true, actually.
What you just said was totally foreign to me. I don't even know what Twitch thing is.
Do you want me to explain?
Explain for the Gen Y.
So Twitch is a video platform very much like YouTube, but instead of it being you make a video, you film it, you upload it, you actually have a camera and you go online and you're just doing things online live. and you've got a little chat box where people can log in and comment. And so you're actually interacting with people live while you're playing games or doing something.
That seems really mundane.
Oh, I think it's big for gaming. I think my husband so you're playing watches a that game sometimes. Yeah.
It can,
and videoing yourself playing the game.
Yeah, so you've got your camera on. In the same way like a Zoom call's live. You'll be recording yourself live through Twitch. You can be playing games. Some people, you know, are just there doing a variety of things.
Eating's
a big one. They've got, again, they're making like the game show type games that they're doing in live, like in real time.
Wowzers.
And they get like people, I think I remember like some records, like hundreds of thousands of concurrent viewers.
Wowzers. So that is live. Going back to what you were saying about sport though, because I'm not a sporty person, but I do know sometimes it hasn't happened recently because Melbourne have not done that well in the AFL, that is. My husband would be like, put the Melbourne games in our calendar. He wouldn't go to the games, but he needed to watch them live because so many of his friends and family, they're on group chat together. And so if he's not watching it live, it's almost like he'll find out what happened in the game before he gets to watch the game on catch up. So you've got to watch it live.
While he's watching it live and they've got these group chats, please tell me that they're going, oh, look at, they're sending each other texts going, that was amazing.
Yeah, it's all about the game.
That ump was a terrible decision. Yeah. So it's
It's like they're watching it together in separate houses.
I love that. And watching it live on TV.
And watching it live. So you have to do it live.
Maybe that's why the rights to that live sports stuff is so expensive and why the channels seem to really fight for it, you know, to get the cricket, to get the AFL, to get the Olympics. Maybe that's why they fight.
Do people watch the Olympics?
I do certain things. Yeah, I do like to. But the Olympics isn't really live. I mean, a lot of that is because so many things are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
But there are some things I definitely would watch.
Do you know the only thing I watched in the Olympics?
What?
Is Snoop Dogg.
Oh, he was a highlight.
I know.
He was worth every dollar they gave him.
Who else did he do it with? I can't even remember now. But him and that
Martha
other...
Martha Stewart went over as well and did a couple of segments with him.
Dress up in dressage and like commentate on the dressage. And like, he was hilarious.
He was the common man. I mean, I know he's not the common man, but he was still like saying things that we would be saying to the TV,
what, the
you know? Hey, saying that, if you do watch live TV, do you yell at the TV? Because sometimes I'll yell at the TV and go, what are you doing?
I think sports, definitely you can.
Yeah.
I can see. And that's, you know, testament to whatever you're watching. If you are so immersed in it that you're cursing it. But if I were to be watching free-to-air like MasterChef or something, I wouldn't be like screaming at the TV, I don't think.
If I watch an episode of MasterChef, I actually will be yelling at the TV. Because what really annoys me about those shows is that the person's being kicked off or going to get kicked off and they go, this is my last chance, this is my last chance, or blah, blah, blah. And I think, no, you can leave here and go to culinary school and you can become a chef. This is not your last chance. And I'll actually say that to the TV. I'll go, no, this isn't your last chance. Like, it annoys me. I just think, come on.
Can I tell you a very egotistical watching live TV thing? So back when the Drum was on the ABC, I was on there I think about 6 or 7 times.
I watched live to see you on the Drum. Yeah.
So we would be in the studio and we'd record from 5 till 6.
Yeah.
But the Drum would be on air at 6, right? So, you know, you'd record early so that they could edit anything if anything bad happened. But and so, and I live very close to the ABC studio, so I would make it home like within 5 or 10 minutes of it starting. Or I'd start watching it on my phone while I was walking home, and then I'd watch myself on it and be like, oh my God. But that was the only time I would do it. Because also then I would get all the text messages from my mum, like, because they're then watching it live and my family and friends, and they... And so it was like getting their reactions live while also watching it, knowing what I'd said, but kind of being like, well, how did it actually land?
Yeah.
So that was the only time
I was
doing.
You were very good on it. Can I just add?
You're very nice.
You were very good on it. Like, I'm watching it like a parent going, gosh, I'm so proud.
But then it got axed. Might have been my fault. No, it wasn't my fault. But like – Yeah, all these shows are getting axed, like The Project, like all of these really key Australian shows.
Because they cost too much money.
Yeah, it's just, I feel sad about that. But you know, the other type of Australian shows that I watch quite a lot, which I think Australians do quite well, are those like 20 to 30 minute comedy shows like Fisk, Utopia, where Luke's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I love those shows,
But I only watch them on catch up. So Fisk, Kitty Flanagan and her sister wrote it, and it's based in
North Melbourne.
So you get to see like...
They leave the signage up.
You see the trams. But it is based in a law firm, probation law, isn't it? That's what it's called, isn't it?
I don't know, but it's just law firms.
And stuff. Yeah. It is so funny. And Utopia is based in a government department. And you sit there and go, this is very true. Not that I work in a government department, but it seems true.
One of my sister's husbands works in a government department and he says he watches Utopia and then they go to work and they go, is there microphones or TVs around filming us? And they actually have a saying that when something happens, sometimes someone will go, oh, we just had a Utopia moment.
Yeah.
And they'll actually say that. Now, it's not anything like that, but he said there is some elements that are true that happen, in that way.
But those shows, Australian-made TV, pretty amazing.
Mm. But you just said you don't watch it live. Like, I don't watch it live. So, like, I know Fisk comes out on a certain day, but I don't panic if I don't see it at that time because I'll just watch it later on that night.
But it still counts to their ratings.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it does. So they do count all the streams.
Yeah, so I'll just go stream it. And I like to stream it because there's less ads when you stream.
Yeah. Mm.
So when you watch live, of course, the ABC doesn't have ads, but... Like when you're watching some of the other TV channels, if you watch live, there's actually more ads than there is when you stream. So I like that there's less ads.
And actually, can I just say the ads are like almost as long as the TV show.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like if you count up how many minutes of ads you've watched, it's about the same, isn't it? Like so it's ridiculous.
When you stream TV shows now, they have a little counter up the top and it says one of two and it has a countdown telling you how much longer the ads are going to go for.
But on TV it goes for like 2 minutes.
It does. It really does because there's five or six ads. But when you – that's why I often watch it as a stream because I don't want to – it's less ads. It's actually less
ads.
It's
30 seconds.
Yeah, it's much quicker ads than – I hope the channels aren't listening to this. And
Our attentions, it actually all comes down to our attention spans, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also our consumption of content now, you know, like our want to...
Have it immediate.
Yeah.
When we're ready.
The other thing I notice as well is you can, and I wonder, like, if I knew someone who went to JB Hi-Fi, I'd ask them, I wonder if the sales of massive TVs have gone down because I can't get over your generation, how they all watch on their computers on their bed.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I don't work at JB Hi-Fi, I don't know this, but I think TVs are still like a status symbol.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still think of, you know, when you're buying luxurious items, a TV is still one of them.
They still buy it, okay.
Because you can still, like, even though there's now the utility of watching it on your laptop, people still like watching things on big screens. That hasn't necessarily changed.
Particularly sport, I know that.
Yeah.
Because I remember the first time I saw the biggest TV I'd ever seen. This is going back 25 years ago. And it was my boyfriend at the time. And his dad had gone out and bought it because the World Cup soccer was on. And he bought it to watch the soccer.
Really?
He literally told me that as he's setting it up. He's going, oh, World Cup soccer's in next week. And I wanted a really decent... The TV was, to me, that was huge. Because back then we only had little ones still, you know. So he could experience it and be like there almost.
But
you know?
Even if we're streaming, that probably says more about live TV and ads than it does about wanting to have a really good quality viewing experience because you're still watching, you know, Netflix or Disney Plus on a TV a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's convenient now that you can, like, if you want to watch it in bed on your laptop, you can.
Yeah, I suppose that's what it is, isn't it? Because my hubby loves YouTube and he actually watches it on the TV, though, we've only got one TV like that. If it's free, he'll watch YouTube on the TV, just enjoying the experience on the couch.
So we didn't have a TV when we moved into our apartment. So we moved in 2018 and we only bought a TV when COVID hit but maybe end of 2020, 2021, because we're like, oh my God, we're at home all the time. So we were only watching it on our iPads and on our, Scott had VR goggles that he did also watch TV, not Netflix and stuff on. Anyway, but we bought a social media TV. Have you seen those? So they can be in portrait mode or landscape mode. Scott put it on a Bunnings trolley so we can move it from our lounge room into our bedroom, depending on where we want to watch it. Yeah, he thinks it's genius. We also have the same setup down in Venus Bay, because I think one of the things we liked about laptops and iPads is that it's mobile to where you want to be in the house when you're doing something. It's not fixed to a wall and it's not the dominant feature, say, of your lounge room. Like, you can tuck it away when you have people over and then connect in real time to people as opposed to be like, here's the feature, which is the TV that's dominating the space. And yeah, I think now we've got the best of both worlds.
I just wanted to say as well, in terms of attention spans, it's interesting you say that, because I do think it's probably got to do with like being stimulated. But going back to those live streamers on Twitch, a lot of the time when they start streaming, they've got a little counter in like a timer in the bottom corner, which says how long they've been streaming for. Some of them stream for upwards of 8 hours.
Stop it.
A day.
And people watch them for the full 8 hours?
I mean, a lot of time they're just tuning in, but there are people, I'm sure, that are sitting there for 8 hours watching these creators. So it's, I don't think in terms of when we're talking about TV being dead, that people don't want to watch and engage in things live, because they definitely do. And I don't necessarily think that people aren't watching things generally or don't like the type of shows that are on, because clearly they're recreating Jeopardy and whatnot and getting millions of views. So I think it's something else.
It's the accessibility, I think, that they do it through. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think more than ever we're consuming content.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
More than we ever used to.
100%.
But it's just a different mode that we're doing that on. Like, we're consuming content differently.
Can I just say something else, though? Because we have all the streaming services, stupidly. I don't even want to think about how much money we pay in streaming service subscription fees. But there are many times that we cannot find something we both want to watch.
Yeah.
Or we will start watching a show. So we started watching season 2 of Nine Perfect Strangers. We got 2 minutes in and we were like, nah, can't do this. Started watching.
So weird you say that. I couldn't even finish the first episode. We were like, oh.
But we got 2 minutes in when she presented. Anyway, I shouldn't go into it for those who haven't watched it. And then we started watching some Australian, The Survivor something.
Yeah.
Got maybe half a minute in and we were both like, this is terrible. We are making judgment calls on the quality of the content, right, super quickly, not giving it a chance. And I'm just like, nah. But we watched all 4 seasons of Clarkson's Farm, which has become the most watched TV show in the UK, averaging 5 million views per episode, right? And Prime spent a ridiculous amount of money on, what was that, Rings of Power, which I thought was hideously done. Hideous. Good premise. Hideously done. Clarkson's Farm does not cost hard, like, anything, because it's Jeremy Clarkson on his bloody farm. And it has outstripped Rings of Power 100 times.
Do you think that people like reality more than they do the fiction nowadays? Because I think reality does pretty well.
Like, I think reality, comedy, sport.
Okay.
Like shows like Fisk or Utopia or comedy specials.
But if you look at like Netflix, the most watched programs are things like Squid Games.
Oh, God.
And I know Squid Games is fiction, but it is a game, you know, that's a game. Wednesday was another really big one for them. And, of course, Stranger Things is the other big one that they had.
But that's
not
a game.
No, I know, but I'm just saying people do like to watch still fiction.
I think fantasy is having a real, like,
moment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was just going to, speaking to what you're saying before, Dash, I think Netflix released, like, I'm not sure if it was an article or something where they said that they like looked at people's retention rate with shows, and they said that on average people are making a decision about whether or not they're going to watch a show within the first 9 seconds of viewing it. And so they have they tell like their creators, you need to do something in those first 10 seconds that keeps the audience invested for actually the rest of the season. Oh, like this is the episode.
It's true though, because there's so many times we'll start something and we'll just go, nah, not worth our time.
Like, but I think it's like how well made the show is, right? So even if you're like, I'm not sure about this, if it's a well made show, like you said, you're like, okay, I'll invest a bit of time in it. Because then we watch Sirens, which I'd already watched, and it's just such a beautifully made show. Also, one of the main characters looks like someone we know, so we're the whole time being like, how is this not that person?
I actually watch a TikToker who says, I watch the first episode so you don't have to, and I'll tell you whether it's worth watching or not.
Mm.
I do. So, and it was because I've noticed that a lot of his choices are very similar to my own.
Who
so
is this person? No.
I can't remember what his name is, but I follow him. And like, so last night we started watching this new show on Apple called Smoke. And I'd already it's only two episodes came out. So and I was watching the first episode and I was saying to my husband, oh, I'm not sure about this, but okay, let's watch the second one. By the second one, I was hooked, like well and truly hooked. And then I was listening to him this morning going, oh, I've watched the first episode of Smoke. And he thought exactly the same as I did. He goes, it's good acting, blah, blah, blah. I think I'll give it another go. And then there was another show that he had watched, which is a new one on Netflix, and we had watched we had watched about 20 minutes of the first episode, and I was going to my husband, this is like set in the, like, as in the dialogue and the acting was so bad. It was like watching, you know, an episode of 90210 or Melrose Place. Just so dated.
So dated. 90s.
It's just like, yeah, we can't watch any more of this. And then he said exactly the same thing. Mm. So I thought, right, next time before I dive in, I'll just have a look at him first.
Yeah. So what's our take on this? TV dead or not?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's dead necessarily. I just think it's different. I think we're super selective about the content that we want to watch, but at the same time, we still spend so much time consuming content.
Yeah.
I think TV's just dated and it has to reinvent itself.
Yeah.
They have to be quicker on their feet at the moment and work out a way to monetize it, to make it worth their while, because I understand everyone has to make money. I think there's some new concepts out there and they haven't been quick enough to commercialize that yet.
Yeah. I think the baby boomers and above are still TV watchers. So
for sure.
Until they stop watching TV, there will still be an audience, but they definitely haven't captured the younger generations coming through.
Definitely. So. I remember like maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago, like daily show host. I'm not sure who it was. But
Trevor Noah? No?
No.
John Stewart? No.
I wouldn't even know them even if you said them out loud, to be honest. It was someone that I don't think is doing it anymore. And he was basically like, so let me get this straight. People go online and watch people play video games.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know if he called them losers or he said it was just the most ridiculous concept. And it's now probably one of the most engaged forces of content that exists.
Mm. Amazing, isn't it?
Got to move with the times.
You've got to move and have your finger on the pulse.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.